RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news. First, the headlines. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs supports Wiranto's plan to dismiss anti-Pancasila mass organization. Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti says illegal fishing is transnational organized crime. Now, the news in detail. The Indonesian government is currently reviewing a plan to dissolve mass organizations that are considered incompatible with Pancasila and Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. The review is currently being conducted by the Coordinating Ministry for Political, Legal, and Security Affairs and the Ministry of Home Affairs. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said in Jakarta on Saturday that the government's plan to dissolve mass organizations that contradict the value of Pancasila, the state ideology, as proposed by the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal, and Security Affairs Wiranto and Minister of Home Affairs Cahyo Kumolo, is the right step. Luhut was of the view that it is time for Indonesia to apply order and discipline for the good sake of the nation and country.
Ya, kalau itu negara ini kan jangan diatur sama yang enggak.
Don't let the country be regulated with unclear regulators. We must rule the country correctly. Don't let the country be separated just because of such an issue. It is not right. So Mr. Wiranto is right. I agree to make the country in order. The country must have discipline. It has to be run correctly and orderly. We have to believe in a system. We have courts, so we have to believe in courts. If the courts are not good, we have to fix them. Don't use street courts. That's not right. President Joko Widodo has instructed the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal, and Security Affairs Wiranto to study the legal umbrella of mass organizations suspected to be anti-Pancasila before being dissolved. He asked the public to wait for the steps to be taken by the government. However, according to the head of state, the government gives space to many parties who want to voice their opinions, without violating the rules of legislation. The president added that the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal, and Security Affairs will take a firm stand against anyone seeking to disturb the state security. President Joko Widodo gave an assurance on Saturday that the development of agricultural infrastructure such as dams, reservoir, secondary, and tertiary irrigation networks in the country will continue to assure water supply for farming. The president said while opening the 15th National Week of Farmers and Fishermen in Harapan Bangsa Stadium in Kampung Long Raya, Banda Aceh, that water is key to farming. Farming is not possible without water. Jokowi said that 49 big dams spreading from Sabang, Sumatra, to Merauke, Papua in the east, were currently being built by the government. He noted that there are many dams, but they are mostly in East Nusa Tenggara that needs water the most. He also added that he has ordered the Minister of Agriculture and the Minister of Village and Backward Region Development and Transmigration to build small water reservoirs. President Jokowi remarked that the target is to complete 30,000 reservoirs this year. The government has also pledged to complete the development of secondary and tertiary irrigation network this year, as had been promised by Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman 3 years ago. The Indonesian government is making necessary efforts to prevent the hoarding of basic necessities and to control and maintain stable prices of commodities in the face of the Islamic fasting month of Ramadan later this May. With the Ramadan fasting month drawing closer, the government has set up a police food tax force and has made it mandatory for distributors of basic commodities to register at the Trade Ministry to prevent speculators from hoarding essential commodities. The police food tax force has been set up at the national level, national police headquarters, regional or provincial police, and resort or district police levels. The food tax force will continue to monitor the market condition and attempts to hoard basic commodities by speculators. The task force has been assigned the main duty of supervising price fluctuation, volume of basic commodities, price hikes and distribution from producer to consumers. Head of Public Relations of Jakarta Police Senior Commissioner Argo Yuwono stated in Jakarta that police are coordinating with the local government, notably with regard to trade activities and the State Logistic Board Bulog. Yuwono noted that Indonesia Police Chief General Tito Karnavian has held a video conference with all regional police chiefs and ordered them to help maintain stability in the price of basic necessities in the face of the fasting month. Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti said on Saturday that Indonesia will seek the support of United Nations to declare illegal fishing as a transnational organized crime. She stated that she planned to raise the issue of illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing as a transnational organized crime at a side event of the United Nations General Assembly. She noted that they will be facilitated by Mr. Peter Thompson as President of the United General Assembly to hold a side event through which they can call on the United Nations to support us in declaring in the unreported and unregulated fishing as transnational crime. Speaking as a keynote speaker at seminar on entrepreneurship at Muhammadiyah University of Yogyakarta on Sunday afternoon, Minister Susi Pujiastuti said that many countries agree with the idea to classify illegal fishing as transnational organized crime. We have made a joint communique. The United Nations will make a circular on their classification. If it has been formulated, the Interpol will run the execution. Many countries have started and joined the joint communique. Many European countries have agreed, such as Norway, Papua New Guinea, and some other countries, including East Timor. Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Pujiastuti also said many vessels of fishing thieves that operate in Indonesian waters also take away various kinds of protected rare animals. When they come, they also bring in illegal commodities and even weapons. The Ministry of Tourism will hold Indonesia Week or INAFES 2017 on May 20 until 26 at the Oriental Pearl Tower in Shanghai, China, to attract Chinese tourists to Indonesia. The ministry's marketing development deputy, I Gede Pitana, and his assistant, Vincentius Cimadu, said INAFES is organized in cooperation with Indonesia's Consulate General in Shanghai and the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce in China. Pitana said that exhibition of Indonesian art and cultural performances will be the highlights of the event. Vincentius added that photos of Indonesia's 10 priority destinations will be displayed and a culinary festival will flavor the exhibition. This promotional event is going to attract Chinese tourists to Indonesia. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said Chinese tourists are the ministry's main target as the country's economy is experiencing a big growth. He stated that the target is to attract 20 million international tourists to Indonesia in 2019. Half of them are expected to come from China. It is important to promote Indonesian tourism in China to achieve the target. Listener, the news comes from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. So, Jakarta Vice Mayor Irman Shah opened the 12th Palang Pintu Festival in Kemang, Jakarta on Saturday. Palang Pintu is the Betawi's cultural characteristic in welcoming bridegroom to meet the bride. Palang Pintu Festival is held annually to promote the Betawi culture of native Jakarta and to welcome the anniversary of Jakarta next June 22nd. Some art competition and bazaar of Jakarta original culinary highlight the festival, which is held from 6 until 7 May 2017. Irmansyah, in his opening speech, said in welcoming ASEAN Games 2018, Jakarta's people must contribute so that the delegates and participants of the international sport event are interested in going shopping in Jakarta, especially buying Jakarta original products.
Tahun depan kita punya event yang luar biasa.
We will face extraordinary sport events called ASEAN Games held in August 2018. The question is, what should we prepare? There will be many delegates. So, should we do nothing? We must prepare as good as possible. We must think that we can do. So, when they bring their money such as dollar, yuan, yen, rupee, real, or dinar currency from many countries, they can spend their money in Jakarta by buying something. Do you agree? Yes, I agree. Just think that we will make to attract them. It can be souvenirs, kerak telur as traditional food, or beer peletok, traditional beverage. Besides, Irmansyah explained Indonesian government is focusing on trade, tourism, and investment to attract foreigners' attention to come to Jakarta. Therefore, he asked Batawanese people, as the native people of Jakarta, to participate with the government in promoting Jakarta's art and culture so that foreigners know more about the local culture. The last item, a government event on meetings, incentive, conferences, and exhibition or MICE in Jakarta this week is expected to further boost tourism in one of Indonesia's 10 priority destinations. The event, held from Thursday for May to Saturday, is expected to further promote Jakarta's Old Town and Thousand Island as destination of MICE tourism. Hiramsa Taib, the head of development acceleration for the 10 priority destination at the Ministry of Tourism, said there are many heritage buildings in Jakarta that can be used for MICE. Hiramsa said that integrating business and leisure is its aim. He said that the event is part of the ministry's ongoing effort to further develop all of Indonesia's 10 priority destinations, which are also the Bangka Belitung Island, Lake Toba in North Sumatra, Tanjung Lesung in Banten, the Borobudur Temple in Central Java, the Bromo Tengger Semeru National Park in East Java, Mandalika in West Nusa Tenggara, Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara, Wakatobi in South East Sulawesi, and Morotai in North Maluku. Well, it's not that was news over RRW Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Welcome back to our weekly edition from news across the country. The segment presents interesting information from various regions from the week. Stay tuned. The first news story comes from Yogyakarta. The visit zone at Taman Pintar Yogyakarta will increase after government of Yogyakarta City and Embassy of France, along with Institut Français Indonésie, signed mutual agreement to build miniature of Eiffel Tower at a tourism place. An official of Yogyakarta Mayor Sulistyo on the sidelines of the signing of joint agreement with the French Embassy in Yogyakarta said on Thursday that the zone will add more visitors' insights about the Eiffel Tower. The visitors, who are mostly students, can learn the tower in detail, both the history and structure of the building. Sulistyo also hoped that the joint agreement could further strengthen a good cooperation between Indonesia and France, especially with the city of Yogyakarta. The joint agreement was signed directly by Sulistyo with the French ambassador to Indonesia, Jean-Charles Bertoni. In the new zone on the second floor of Taman Pintar building will feature a miniature tower in its original form as high as 2 meters with fireworks diorama, Gustave Eiffel biography as the founder of the Eiffel Tower, the history of construction and photo booth tower so that the visitors feel like in Eiffel. Head of Tourism Office of Yogyakarta, Yunianto Dwi Sutono, said that the construction of new zone development will be fully constructed by French Embassy in Indonesia and Institut Français Indonesia. Yunianto estimated the development process of Eiffel Tower miniature at Taman Pintar will last in quite long time.
It is estimated the construction of the zone will be completed in early 2018. Our next story comes from Bandung, West Java. Embroidery Batik and Archaeologic Weaving 2017 was held at Graha Manggala Siliwangi on May 3rd to 5th, 2017. This year's performance is participated by gemstone craftsmen and designers. Desai Savitri, the organizer of the festival, said that Indonesia is a rich country with a variety of cultures such as batik art, embroidery, and weaving. To be more introduced and increase the people's appreciation toward domestic products, Maxindo, in cooperation with Krishna Studio, carried the Embroidery Batik Festival and Archaeologic Weaving 2017. Desi, moreover, said this event as a form of love to the culture, as well as looking for creative talent of batik lovers, embroidery, and archaeologic weaving. It is expected that this event can continue to be preserved until it is no longer recognized as the copyrighted work of other countries. The Batik Embroidery and Archaeologic Weaving 2017 Festival will also be filled with fashion shows, talk shows, demonstrations and workshops, traditional entertainment, and various competitions. The last story news come from Jakarta, the capital city. Islamic Book Fair 2017, held on 3 to 7 of March at JCC Senayan, Jakarta, presented 20,000 Islamic book titles from various categories and publishers. Chairman of the Islamic Book Fair 2017 Committee, Mahmud Anis Baswedan, at the opening of the exhibition on Wednesday said, "The books are diverse, from children's books, adult, fiction, biographies, and others from 310 publishers." In the 16th event, the book exhibition took the theme Building Civilization Through Islamic Literacy and was firstly held at JCC Senayan. Previously, the exhibition was often held at Senayan Sports Center, Jakarta. The organizer made a concept of the event as a literacy tourism site, where it is equipped with children's play facilities as well as a 600-meter halal food stalls located at crossing the building where the exhibition took place. The exhibition was also aimed at encouraging reading spirit of Indonesian people. With a culture of reading, it can create superior human beings who will play a role in building civilization. Listener, that was the news from across the country.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on May 7, 1949, when Indonesia and the Netherlands signed Roemrooyen Agreement. Listener, although Indonesia's independence was proclaimed on August 17, 1945, the Dutch still did not recognize the independence of Indonesia. On 19 December 1948, the Dutch launched military aggression by attacking Yogyakarta city and arrested President and Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia. Indonesia persistently defended the independence from the Dutch aggression. Finally, the armed conflict ended with diplomacy. One of the diplomacies was Roemrooyen. The Roem van Rooyen Agreement was an agreement made between Indonesia and the Netherlands on May 7, 1949. The name was derived between the two principal negotiators at the meeting, namely Muhammad Rum and Jan Herman van Rooyen. The purpose of the meeting was to iron out outstanding issues prior to Indonesian independence, which was to be granted at the Roundtable Conference at The Hague later the same year. The next event was in 1954 when the Battle of Dinh Bien Phu ended. The Battle of Dinh Bien Phu was the climatic confrontation of the First Indochina War between the French Union's French Far East Expeditionary Corps and Viet Minh Communist Nationalist Revolutionaries. It was, from the French view, before the event, a set piece battle to draw out the Vietnamese and destroy them with superior firepower. The battle occurred between March and May 1954 and culminated in a comprehensive French defeat that influenced negotiations over the future of Indochina at Geneva. Military historian Martin Windrow wrote that Dinh Bien Phu was the first time that a non-European colonial independence movement had evolved through all the stages from guerrilla bands to a conventionally organized and equipped army able to defeat a modern Western occupier in pitched battle. The war ended shortly after the Battle of Dinh Bien Phu and the signing of the 1954 Geneva Accords. France agreed to withdraw its forces from all its colonies in French Indochina, while stipulating that Vietnam would be temporarily divided at the 17th parallel, with control of the north given to the Viet Minh as the Democratic Republic of Vietnam under Ho Chi Minh, and the south becoming the State of Vietnam nominally under Emperor Bao Dai, preventing Ho Chi Minh from gaining control of the entire country. The refusal of Ngo Dinh Diem to allow elections in 1956, as had been stipulated by the Geneva Conference, eventually led to the first phase of the Second Indochina War, better known as the Vietnam War. And the next event was in 2007 when Israel archaeologists found the King Herod's tomb at the south of Jerusalem City. Archaeologists from Hebrew University in Israel found the King Herod's tomb at the south of Jerusalem City. The tomb is under a hill where the Herod Palace stood. The tomb was found by Ehud Netzer, a professor of Hebrew University. He has investigated the existing of Herodium since 1972 based on the note of Jewish historian Josephus Flavius in the first century. Herod, also known as Herod the Great and Herod I, was a Roman client king of Judea, referred to as the Herodian Kingdom. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is an Edward service with in this week's spotlight, which today is success in organizing World Freedom Day 2017. United Nations Educational and Cultural Organization World Press Freedom Day 2017, a series of events consisting of discussions, exhibitions, and the awarding of Guillermo Cano World Press Freedom Prize were held from 1st to 4th May. The World Press Freedom Day 2017 officially opened by Indonesia's Vice Yusuf Kalla in his speech said media technology had influenced the development of democracy and the country. He cited an example in the Middle East which were influenced by social media like Facebook. Technologies in the media affect the life of a nation as a whole both in positive and negative ways. The media contributes to sustainable economic development, poverty alleviation, and inequality. Media freedom with very high technology can also cause negative impacts if the media do not censorship. Yusuf Kalla hopes that Indonesian media maximize the best freedom and technology available for the common good. According to him, governments in various countries need criticism and a critical view to guard the country's direction. Without criticism from the media that represent the views of society, it will not provide great benefit, and the government cannot run a good state vision. To keep all of that, Yusuf Kalla said that the government guarantees the safety of journalists and the absence of any intervention to the media. But on the other hand, he asked that the media to be also objective about how the government performing its functions. After being officially appointed President Yusuf Kalla, President Joko Widodo attended the Guillermo Cano World Press Freedom Prize. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said that the press plays an important role in the journey of the Indonesian nation. Since the Reforma era, the free and passionate press has been playing a critical role fighting corruption while still entertaining the public. According to President Joko Widodo, Indonesia is among countries with the most freedom of the press in the world, which resulted in the increasingly strong and dynamic Indonesia. Currently, there are challenges facing the media, namely hate speech and hoax. The president said mainstream media as well as online media play a role in dealing with the challenges and must strengthen any news which is not true. The Guillermo Cano World Press Freedom Prize was awarded to the Eritrean journalist Dawit Isaac. Because of his activities as a journalist, Isaac was captured by Eritrean ruler in 2001 and his fate is still known. The award was received by Dawit's daughter Bethlehem Isaac on behalf of her father. The celebration of World Press Freedom Day 2017 concluded with the Jakarta Declaration, which contains 74 points of joint statement as a call for all parties to maintain press freedom. No less than 1,300 journalists, media entrepreneurs, and other stakeholders from 40 countries attended the celebration of World Press Freedom Day 2017 in Jakarta. That was Spotlight of the Week.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here's news in brief. The Indonesian government is currently reviewing a plan to dissolve mass organizations that are considered incompatible with Pancasila and Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. President Joko Widodo gave an assurance on Saturday that the development of agricultural infrastructure such as dams, reservoirs, secondary and tertiary irrigation networks in the country would continue to assure water supply for farming. The Indonesian government is making necessary efforts to prevent the hoarding of basic necessities and to control and maintain stable prices of commodities in the face of the Islamic fasting month of Ramadan later this May. Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti said on Saturday that Indonesia will seek the support of the United Nations to declare illegal fishing as a transnational organized crime. The Ministry of Tourism will hold Indonesia Week or INAFEST 2017 on 20-26 May at the Oriental Pearl Tower in Shanghai, China, to attract Chinese tourists to Indonesia. So, Jakarta Vice Mayor Imarja opened the 12th Palang Pintu Festival in Kemang, Jakarta on Saturday. Palang Pintu is the Betawina culture characteristic in welcoming bridegroom to meet the bride. A government event on meetings, incentive, conferences, and exhibitions or MICE in Jakarta this week is expected to further boost tourism in one of the Indonesia's 10 priority destinations. Well, listener, that was news in brief of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is a remote service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesia's tourism, like place of interest, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I will introduce Lamongan's specialty in culinary, so stay tuned in to a remote service, Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Lamongan is a district in the province of East Java, Indonesia, which has a variety of food and cuisine. Among others is sego boran or boran rice, which is a typical culinary of Lamongan and can only be found in Lamongan and not in other places. There is a unique story about sego boran. Residents here believe that only certain people can make it. Ability to create sego boran menu is passed down from generation to generation. Only the offspring a boran seller who can cook it. Therefore, usually the sellers of boran rice come from one village in Lamongan area and they are relatives of each other. Thus, the secret recipe of boran rice is only owned by those villagers. Boran rice consists of rice seasonings, satisis, and rempeyek or peanut crackers. The spices of boran rice is mixed and called letok. Side dishes offered by the seller varied such as chicken, silly fish, tofu, and tempeh, and also the special silly fish. There are other side dishes such as gimbal and pletuk, but the original side dish is silly fish. However, because this fish is a seasonal fish, the seller of boran rice usually adds a variety of side dishes in its place. While the soft gimbal is made from velour and other ingredients shaped like a ping pong ball and then fried, while pletuk is made of red seasoned dried rice. Listener, the name of boran rice comes from boran, which is a large basket made of woven bamboo with four legs, where people usually use to carry rice. In Lamongan, it is not difficult to find sellers of boran rice because many sellers are scattered in the city. The way of presenting this sego boran is very simple. Banana leaves is formed into slightly conical shaped bowl, pinned with a toothpick-sized coconut. The first place in banana leaf bowl is warm rice, then the main dishes such as gimbal empuk, silly fish, tofu, and tempeh. Next is a choice of side dishes such as chicken, milkfish, or fried egg, and others. The last one is some red spicy sauce, then on top of the sauce, some peyek and pletuk are added. Boran rice is not sold in restaurants but on side street or on the sidewalks in front of shops where customers are served squatting or sitting on a rug. Boran rice seller can be found for 24 hours. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic of boran rice, a typical culinary from Lamongan. We will meet you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye! Thank you.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Air Reward Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to Miscellany. Today's edition is about wooden bicycle. Stay tuned. Listener, nature provides a variety of potential that can be utilized by humans. This is believed by Didi Diarsa, a graduated student of State University of Jakarta in the Department of Geography. Didi established a creative hub that brings together various communities in Depok to share information, knowledge, and even develop business. Since its establishment 3 years ago, this quote creative hub has been visited by more than 150,000 participants who develop digital applications, policy, and others. One of the products that have been produced is a bicycle that uses wood. Didi said nature always provides benefits and solutions in humans, one of which is quite abundant rubber wood in Indonesia. Rubber wood that is aged 10 to 15 years will be replaced with new seeds. To take advantage of this old rubber wood, farmers need substances to remove the sap at a very expensive cost. Therefore, rubber wood is rarely used as a furniture material. Wood is then used by Didi and his colleagues in quote creative hubs.
Kita memanfaatkan itu sebagai material.
Well, we use it as the main material. It's very much available in Indonesia. We explore to make a foam, but not as easy as imagine. Just to make the wood bends perfectly, it takes 3 to 4 months. Didi said that the test for this wooden bicycle products has been running for almost a year. Didi also equipped this wood bike with electrical components.
Saya tambahkan listrik di sana.
I add electricity there, so this becomes the world's first rubber electric wood bike. In addition to utilizing rubber wood that is mostly not processed, the bicycle is also expected to be a solution to congestion that occurs in major cities in Indonesia. Didi added that cities in developed countries today actually use a bicycle as a means of transportation support for distance below 20 kilometers. Using a bicycle also means helping to reduce pollution problems. Didi hopes that people of Indonesia begin to use the means of transportation that is cheap, easy, and friendly to the environment. Listener, that was Miscellany for today. We will meet you again tomorrow with various interesting topics. Goodbye.
Meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Hey listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are knowledge. In this segment, we will always play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read a letter sent by Koji Nakayama in Japan. He sent his letter to our broadcast that 30th November 2016. He listened to our broadcast in English program through audio streaming www.voi.co.id on 1st November 2016. In his letter, Mr. Koji Nakayama sent reception report of our broadcast. He also enclosed IRC in his letter. Hello, Mr. Koji Nakayama. Thank you for your attention and appreciation in our broadcast. As your request, we will send our QSL card to your home as soon as possible. In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, Voice of Indonesia is organizing Wonderful Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. So we hope that you can participate in the quiz and please send your answer as soon as possible. Who knows, you are one of the lucky winners for the quiz. Keep listening to our broadcast every day and please send your lesson report to us. Listener, wherever you are, now we will play a beautiful song for all of you. Enjoy the song.
Mama.
Listener, now we will reply a letter from W. Anwar in Bangladesh. In his letter, Mr. W. Anwar said that it was the first time he listened to VOI English program. Hello, Mr. W. Anwar. Thank you for your time to monitor our radio. Because you are newcomer on our broadcast, so we will put your name on our listeners list. We hope that you will never forget bored to keep listening to Voice of Indonesia. We are really sorry because this time we cannot broadcast in Bengali program. In the next future, hopefully we can add Bengali section. So Mr. W. Anwar, we are looking forward to receiving your next letter or email and also your reception report of our broadcast. As our appreciation, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song, listeners. Now we will reply an email from Jorge Luis in Venezuela. Jorge Luis listened to our English broadcast and sent a short video to VOI. Hello, Mr. Jorge Luis. Thank you for your appreciation and attention on our broadcast. We heard recording of our broadcast which sent by you. We think that it is quite clear. Thank you for sending your reception report in video format. With your reception report, we will able to know how good our broadcast can be heard in your country. As you request, we will send our QSL card to your home. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Keep listening to our broadcast every day and please send your reception report. Listener, wherever you are now, we are going to play a beautiful song for all of you. Enjoy the song. Listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visiting our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception report on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I am Andika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener Mailbag. Bye-bye! Mungkinkah
adanya api cinta antara kita. Apakah ini pertanda tumbuhnya benih-benih cinta? Hari demi hari berlalu, raguku dibuatmu beribu tanya di hati. Apakah dirimu rasakan yang sama?
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.